One enthusiasts, and welcome back to the Grand Prix Girls podcast. If you are a returning listener, thank you for tuning back in. If you're a new listener, pull up a chair, get comfy, and enjoy. We have a very exciting episode for you this week because, imaginary drumroll please, F1 is officially back.
Woo!
We've made it to and through the first race of the season, and today we'll be talking through everything that happened over the Bahrain Grand Prix race weekend.
Yes, we will. We made it, ladies.
We did. We survived the winter.
We survived!
Finally!
I feel alive again. I feel a bit alive again. It's very nice.
Yeah, like I was just in a deep sleep for...
Yep.
Without the sleep. No, it's like...
Without the sleep.
Yeah.
It was a long winter.
It was.
Long.
But we're back. When we got to testing, like the testing week, and then this week for the race, I was a bit like, are we there yet? I think it was one of those things where in my head, 90 some days seemed longer than it was. But this whole race weekend, I've been like, are we sure it's time for the first race?
Yeah.
Like, is it really lights out?
Definitely.
It's weird. Let's just dive in, shall we?
Sounds good.
So, free practice one. Chessie, would you like to do a quick run through on your thoughts about it? What?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you have free practice, everything is taken with a pinch of salt, like with testing, because it's not really indicative of anything. That it's mainly for the engineers and strategists to get the data they need, right? And I think when we saw that Ricardo topped the timesheets, that was abundantly clear that you really can't take it as indicative of anyone's quality or race pace.
Yeah.
So I would say FP1 was actually the perfect example of why you should take them with a pinch of salt. But it was good to see the cars back on the track, for sure.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Sarah, did you have any other thoughts on that?
No, I would agree. I think definitely free practice one. I will say through a lot of the free practices, through a lot of this, you know, I think we were all a bit like, where is Verstappen? And now we know where Verstappen was.
Yeah. Like 22 seconds ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not mad about that. I'm not like, I am not mad about a dominant driver.
No.
That is fine. I definitely now, I didn't think, I kind of knew in my heart that those times with Max, I knew exactly what was going to happen. Yeah. Not to be like, I'm so smart. But we knew what was going to happen. And so, yeah, I think Chessie's right. You have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
We never were going to have Max Verstappen sixth place.
No. And it was like the testing as well. Testing, all of the free practice sessions, I would say, kind of runs the same of, we don't know their run plans. We don't know their engine modes. We don't know their fuel loads. So we're never going to really get much from it. But I think we all just love seeing the cars on the track all the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it gives you those hope moments, right? For your fantasy F1 league. Yeah. Like, oh, maybe this year will be different. Yeah. No, it's never going to be different.
Although I think through the free practices was the moment that everyone on their, that had Alpine on their F1 team said, we might need to update that a little bit.
Make some minor adjustments.
If you had the budget.
Yeah, well. So yeah, I think we saw like RB, my bad, I was about to call it Visa Racing Bulls. RB, not to be confused with the RB20, RB, the team, obviously topped the timesheets in FP1. Then it was Mercedes in FP2 and then Ferrari FP3.
And then
we had qualifying. Which was confusing.
We did have qualifying,
Interesting. Yeah.
Did we have any other thoughts from FP2, FP3? Now I'm struggling to think of anything besides quali in the race, to be honest.
I suppose, like, Lando's having the McLaren changing two components on Lando's car.
That was
before the start of FP3. The control electronics. The energy store.
Which... That did not fill me with confidence for the McLaren cars.
No.
No, but I think when we come to talking about the race, that might reappear in a different light.
Yes. Yeah.
Potentially.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
I'm happy they did it in hindsight. I'm very happy they did it, you know.
Our rose tinted glasses. For their sakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So
Quali was quite an interesting one, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
I will say some I was gladly surprised that the trend that McLaren had last season, towards the end of last season, of trying to save a specific tyre compound was not being repeated. That was a pleasant surprise. Yeah. And Ferrari not waiting until, like, you know, halfway through each session to send a car out was also a pleasant surprise. As it does every year since they changed the quali format, I always get frustrated with it because you can have the situation where someone sets a fastest lap that's the fastest for all of qualifying, but they're not on pole. And I do think that's indicative of a problem with the current sessions, but it's the risk and everyone knows that the risk and they accept it. So I guess it's just, it's a shame, but it just highlights the importance of putting in that lap each session. And unfortunately for Charles Leclerc, Q3, crunch time, there was an issue. Didn't get that lap in the way he should have, and Verstappen got on pole. Do I think it would have made a difference if Verstappen had been P5?
No.
So
I feel like, unfortunately for Charles Leclerc, is just the title of this weekend.
Unfortunately for Charles Leclerc, Adrian Newey exists and doesn't work for Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's the extended title.
Yes.
Though I suppose that could be, unfortunately for the other 19 drivers on the grid, Adrian Newey exists and doesn't work for their team.
This was just another, it wasn't another terrible weekend for Charles, but it was one of the very bad, no good days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And quali was, the P2 was great, but.
Could have been a P1.
Yeah.
You live in the couldas, I guess.
I was kind of impressed with both Haas's in Q2, though.
Oh, definitely.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah.
That was pretty. Slade once again the qualifying pace.
He did.
Yeah. Hülkenberg did very well.
I mean, he showed it all last season as well, so it was nice to see that he's carried that over into this season as well. His ability, like one lap pace. Yes. It would just be nice if the Haas had the more than one lap pace for Hülkenberg.
If it could just repeat that.
If you could just do that lap pace 57 times without causing any damage to the tires and potentially the drivers.
Yeah,
maybe even like 5. I'll take 5 times.
Just a small ask.
I'll take just getting to turn 2 start. At this point.
We had, I don't know if you've touched on this, both Alpines out, both Saubers out, and then a Logan Sargeant again, but he wasn't 20. He was 7.
Nope.
18. Counting is rough sometimes.
I think people were quite surprised by some of that. Like, Alpine obviously completely redid the design of that car. And, I mean, testing wasn't great for Alpine, to be fair. I think there were a lot of people expecting it to not be a great performance in qualifying, and that's certainly what we got. The Sauber, I was hopeful for Sauber, but I wasn't realistically expecting them to get to Q3. I did expect them to get out of Q1, though.
Yeah, at least one of them.
One of them to get out of Q1. Like, but both of them out in Q1. And then, you know, you had the remaining Williams out in Q2, not that surprising. And then both RBs out in Q2. I mean, Yuki Tsunoda, to be fair, did a great job, and missing out by that 0.007 seconds was a devastating moment. But it highlights, you know, you gotta hit the line every time.
Yeah. Literally every single time. Yep.
Every single time.
Hamilton had a
little bit of a struggle.
A A little lackluster performance.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he was running a heavy fuel load. Like, Toto did speak afterwards and said, like, we were running him on a heavy fuel load. But I do question, why?
Yeah.
Like,
it seems...
Not to Will Buxton this, but the point of qualifying is to get the best position for the race. So, you want to qualify in P1, right? Because then you got 19 drivers behind you. Why would you heavy fuel load and risk your Maybe if someone the could just send that clip to Mercedes to remind them of the importance of qualifying. Yes. That would be great. Like, all due respect, love Toto Wolff, but Will Buxton made this really clear in Drive to Survive at work.
He did. He did.
I just really appreciated the drivers want to qualify P1. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, they do. And it shines. Will Buxton, once again, proven right. Fabulous for anyone who has questioned me for even a moment.
But yeah, that was not the time to run a heavy fuel load, in my opinion. And I am not a professional in this field at the moment. Why Mercedes?
Yeah, just, yeah.
Just why?
Let's just not do that again, okay?
Yeah. I was happy McLaren did not do the tire strategy they'd been doing at the end of the 2023 season.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they weren't messing around with mediums. They just went, I was happy. My anxiety was not as bad in this quali overall as it had been, which was nice.
Yeah, it was more of a sense of dread for me.
Yeah.
Than anxiety, like this impending sense of doom. Oh, and just like constantly waiting for something terrible to happen. Which thankfully,
that was also the
race.
Didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, we should probably talk about that.
Yeah.
If Emily,
did you have any more thoughts on quali?
Well, just looking at where, like, the McLarens, they've kind of said that this probably wasn't going to be their best track of the year, but then Lando in his, like, final push lap just had that slight misstep to where could have cost him possibly a P2 or even a P3, which it happens. It's sad, but could have been up there. They were...
But, I mean, to be fair, the McLarens were kind of busy giving Max Verstappen and Carlos Sainz a tow. So that was nice of them. That was very generous.
That's true.
That was
right.
Really
that's... putting They're the very grid good ahead team of sport. Themselves. They yeah. are. Yeah.
Putting the show.
Selfless acts of kindness.
Very selfless.
Maybe not do that anymore.
Please.
So maybe Red Bull and Carlos Sainz will give them a tow in Jeddah.
We can only hope.
I think we all know that.
I don't think it will happen.
But it does show the power of the tow. At Bahrain.
Yeah, that is. We could probably, Power of the tow, very important, very necessary. If you want to get ahead. Very unhelpful if you're the one accidentally giving it.
Yeah. I mean, I do think the race engineers have a really difficult time of figuring out exactly when to put the drivers on the track.
Yeah.
Because the sessions being divided the way they are, it's not like 1 hour of just solid. You can go out at whatever point you want. It's between this specific time. So it's a tough one, but sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong.
And they got it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as wrong as some other teams.
No, that's true. You're 100% right. When you have 20, 15, 10 cars on track, limited amount of time, and you're trying to get a hot lap in, sometimes you might accidentally give someone a tow.
Yeah, especially as you all want it to be at the optimum temperature that's comparative to the temperature of the track's going to be on the race. You want the tires in the perfect window. You got to get out of the way for the cars that are on the fast lap behind you while you're doing your like out lap. So it's not an easy thing. I think it's easy for us when we're looking at it, like, just send the car out now. But you can't literally just like, I'll just send the car out now.
Yeah.
There are things that have to be done. So it's always just like, it's a sense of doom. It's like, if they don't send it out now, it's all going to go wrong. Yeah.
True. Into the race, there was a slight kerfuffle in the first turn between three drivers.
Yeah, so Stroll going down.
Not as bad as some turn ones.
No.
Yeah, not as bad as some turn ones, but like Stroll going down on the inside, and there's Hulkenberg right there to the left, Bottas and right then... behind. And it's the whole like three don't go into one. Like,
no.
And, you know, all of the work Hulkenberg had done in qualifying for that great lap and the good position just absolutely ripped to pieces at turn one, lap one.
Yeah.
Dropping to the bottom of the pack.
Just flew right out the window.
He did incredibly well, though, given that.
He did.
To find his way back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, credits where credit's due for Hulkenberg. Like, I think to get past that and come back in the race the way that he did, managing the tires, doing the best laps that he could put in, I think he had a good race. Oh, yeah.
It was... I do too.
You did.
I do too.
Not the race he deserved,
but
made the best out of a bad situation.
All race. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
So that caused the initial yellow flag of the Grand Prix. Yeah. Thank goodness no DNFs from that or anything. No red car. Red flag came out. Not red car.
Red car. Red card.
I got crossed over to football there for a second. My bad.
Yep.
It's fine.
No one got sinned. It was fine.
No.
Actually, no DNFs for the whole race, which is quite unusual. No.
Yeah.
For the last couple of years, at least in Bahrain, to not have a single DNF. And
I was a bit confused.
And I will say, like, I think we were all watching it together, and it was when Logan Sargeant went off the track, and there was another yellow flag. It was like, oh, here we go. Here's the DNF. Like, it's here. But, again, credit. He got that car back on the track.
Yeah.
And across the finish line.
Somehow. With a steering wheel that was...
having... not
a steering wheel, per se.
Yeah, having major issues.
Yeah, from Sky Source Germany, where the steering wheel was randomly changing settings, right?
Yeah.
Which is not what you want from a steering wheel in a car that does that speed.
No.
With
well,
19 other
any
cars
steering
on
wheels.
Like,
yeah.
The potential
you
for...
would like your steering wheel...
danger.
Yeah.
Just in my personal car, I can't imagine if my steering wheel suddenly had a mind of its own, let alone you're going as fast as they are.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like the computer of your car.
Yeah.
Like literally there's this controlling settings, communication.
Yeah. And I know that it's the Williams steering wheel was new this year. There are a lot of thoughts to be had about that. Yep. Albon also had issues, but I was shocked. Not shocked. I was impressed. Maybe I was shocked that Logan made it back out because we all had the same reaction that, no, Logan, no. Yeah. And then, oh, okay. He did come dead last, but he finished.
He was able to recover.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And kept control of the car. There were no accidents following that. So I think, you know, credit to where credit's due for Sargeant.
Yes.
Hopefully it just gets a bit better for him.
Yeah.
Throughout the other 23 races.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Or at the very least, they fix the steering wheel.
Yes.
That's priority. Yes. I would hope that's priority for them.
I imagine James Faust is just like writing on a whiteboard. Priority one, steering wheel.
Steering wheel.
It's like, can you be more specific about what you would like the steering wheel to do? Yeah, work.
Maybe we get rid of that screen.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, just...
it's just a thought.
Just call an electrician.
I'm not blaming the screen, but I'm... yeah, let's... we... something went wrong in designing this.
Something went wrong. But you live and learn with Formula 1, don't you? So... at least it was, hopefully it's a simple thing to fix, and it wasn't, like, the engine problems that some people had, or the braking issues.
Yeah.
Would we like to get into that, Jessie?
Would you like to
talk about
it? No, should we? Yeah. Yes. I have to say, like, look, I think that given the issues that Russell and Hamilton were having with the cooling of the engine, I think they were saying eventually at the end, getting that car across the finish line in the points was incredibly impressive by both of them. And Charlotte Claire's Ferrari brake's not working. Like, it seemed like it was brake balance, brake temperature, brake shape, and reporting that he didn't know where the car was going to go whenever he used the brakes, and even said that it was effing dangerous, saying, like, he just needed to give up. There was no point. He should just give up on the driving. It was pulling to the right. And I was saying to you guys on the call that we had that, like, I hope someone's given George Russell and Lando Norris and Alonso the note that overtake on the left-hand side, because when he brakes, it pulls right. So don't be on the right-hand side.
Yep.
I think he lost P3. Well, he lost P2 because of the brake issues. It caused him to go wide, the constant lockups at turn 10. And for him and Russell to have managed to get P4 and P5, I think they outperformed the car they had that today. Massively outperformed their cars. Did. I would say they are the only drivers that outperformed their cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get being disappointed with their performances, but let's be clear, it was because of the cars. Like, Charles Leclerc was never going to be able to do better with a car that was having issues braking and was borderline shouldn't have been out on the track at all. Like, I was very anxious the whole time. I was expecting DNFs from at least one Mercedes and Charles Leclerc. I'm shocked that they didn't.
Yeah.
Happy, I mean, they didn't, but shocked.
Credit to the people who work on the pit wall and who are examining the data constantly and giving instruction on what you need to do to manage the problem, because clearly they worked incredibly hard to get those cars across the finishing line. And to have only lost two places.
Yeah. That just shows their technical ability and skill to, like, manage the car in the state that it's in.
Absolutely.
That's, like, props. They did amazing for what they were given and had to deal with throughout the race.
Yeah. Though I think no one was surprised to see Verstappen lead every lap of the race.
No.
I expected him to do an extra pit stop.
He did a good job. Yeah.
Honestly, I was expecting him to be like, ugh, I'm 25 seconds ahead.
Pit
I'll just
stop
do an
practice.
Extra one. It's like, come on, guys, let's have a fun pit stop. Because, I mean, he could have, he had enough time. And it would have actually potentially had quite an interesting battle with Perez. But
I think they were just happy to secure that P1 and not risk it.
Yeah. With P1, with P2, we're happy with that. Yeah. Totally understandable.
We don't need to be P1, P2, and a whole show.
No. But, I mean, I think it does. There were a lot of people asking questions like, oh, has Adrian Newey done it again or hasn't he? Anyone who doubted Adrian Newey.
Never doubt Adrian.
No. Adrian Newey. That car was
never doubt Adrian
Newey. Amazing.
Nope.
And it did kind of confirm what the reports of running the low engine mode in testing. Like, they were the definition of soundbagging. Yeah. Three testing and free practice. Because then you get to the race and he was like, what, 40-something? 44 seconds ahead?
He was hot. It was like, very high at one point.
It's like, do you want to slow down? And it was, I think there was the radio message quite early on from Carlos Sainz saying that he had pace over the guys in front. And I was like, Max Verstappen's in front, like, technically. So I'd be very specific about who you're talking about. Like, I would have said, I think I have pace over the two drivers directly in front of me that are not running an Adrian Newey car.
Yes.
Yeah. Long radio message. Yes. Accurate.
Probably not what you would say when you're driving at the speeds, but it didn't quite look good in comparison to...
No.
Felt out of touch.
What happened. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little.
When do we expect the hards to become faster than the softs? And Sarah, you're like, we'll check it next week and let you know when that's happened.
We're still waiting on that from last season.
Yeah, exactly.
From last season.
It's like, what
and
data?
Guess what? They never did.
Yeah.
The gap.
What a shock.
Just.
Yeah, like, it's not just that. Even if the hards were faster than the softs, right? So let's just suspend reality for a moment. The hard compound is the faster tire in Bahrain.
Yeah.
Your car's still not as fast as the Red Bull, and you're still not at the level of Max Verstappen in driving, no offense and no shade to Carlos Sainz. It's just a fact. Your car isn't on the same level, and you're not on the same level. You are never going to catch up to them.
I get that at some point the softs degrade a lot, but it's also an RB, like an RB20.
So it's a Red Bull.
The RB19. It is the RB20. I know. This is why I have an issue. It's a confusion. So even though, yes, they may be getting high levels of degradation compared to you, it is still the RB20. It's still an Adrian Newey car.
With Max Verstappen driving it.
Next to no tire degradation last year. Like, their car barely suffered tire degradation. And you might expect the soft tire to drop off, yes, but Max Verstappen pitted considerably later and the fuel load is lighter. Right. So the amount of degradation that the soft tire is going to be going under is arguably diminished. And then even more so when it's an Adrian Newey Red Bull car.
Right. So it wasn't like him having these hard tires was going to be that much of a benefit that he was going to, like, get in front of Checo.
No. I think Christian Horner made a point in his post-race interviews that he didn't really understand why other teams didn't bring an extra set of softs. Like, they all chose to have the extra set of hards, and he was like, oh, we chose to have the extra set of softs. And I think there's an argument that that was absolutely the right decision.
I think
it'll be interesting to see at the high-speed circuit of Jeddah what the tire choices are for the teams. But it was a good race for everyone P2 down. Wasn't really a race for P1, though.
No. I would say it wasn't a good race for a specific team further down. I had a little...
No.
No.
A beef. A little argument.
There was good racing.
That is true. We'll go with that. Yep.
But Alpine, I'm assuming you're talking about Alpine, because let's be
honest. No, I'm talking about the kerfuffle with RB, but Alpine, we need to talk about the infighting
in RB.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we're going to talk about strategy in a minute, but Alpine did, the only reason they didn't get 20 and 19 was Logan having his issue with the steering wheel, and Valtteri having an absolutely horrendous pit stop.
Arguably one of the worst pit stops we've seen.
It just kept getting worse. I think we were just sitting there as it was counting up, just in shock, watching this smoke come off of the front.
And it was the angle that you have as well at the time is obviously like front on, so you don't see that the guy actually does have a tire behind. You just see like the tires come off, they're running away, then you're like, wait, hang on, why is there not another tire? And then the
Is this some new strategy?
Yes, like, you know you're supposed to have four.
It was not good.
Miscounted but it, a little.
It, I mean, it worked well for Alpine in that their terrible car didn't finish plumb last. But, you know, that's benefiting off of the misfortune of others.
It should have. It deserved to.
It deserved to.
Yeah.
And then...
So we'll see if that's a consistent thing. We've seen teams grow. We've seen teams do very horrendous in Bahrain and then do and very well.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
I think we're going to realistically be looking towards Spain for upgrades coming through that will actually make a difference, though. So it's going to be managing that package as much as possible until then.
Yeah. I wouldn't put them on your F1 fantasy team for the time being.
Unless you have a chaos team, and the purpose of which is to score the least amount of points. In which case, top tip, Alpine.
Yep. Yep. Probably pretty cheap at the moment, so...
Bargain.
Make your adjustments now if you need to.
Yep.
Yep.
So, RB.
Yep.
That was a
that felt interesting. Unfair.
Yeah.
Why don't you summarize it for us, Emily?
So, it was about lap 53 of the race. Tsunoda gets a team message to do a driver swap.
Which was so well received. I feel so bad
for him. It was very well received. He was within DRS of Magnussen at like consistently at like 0.4, 0.5, maybe like ranging just depending on where they were at on the track. Gets the message. Does what he's asked. Like most of them do.
And obviously it was for a good reason, right? Because we saw Danny Rick. It was for a
very good reason.
Oh, wait.
Pass. No.
No, he didn't actually. He gets the driver swap. And then he's suddenly 2 seconds behind Magnussen.
Yeah.
Like, I understand there's some people mentioning that, oh, it was because Yuki delayed it. First off, it's pretty normal for there to be, there's a delay with what we see on the screen versus what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that there was a delay. It's also very normal for drivers to question driver swaps, and that was one to question. And if they were thinking that was realistic to do, that he was going to be able to get in front of Yuki with the driver swap and then pass Magnussen and then from there go, then they needed to do that earlier.
Yeah, and it's also like, yes, if people might want to blame Tsunoda for holding it up, but at the same time, you've got to ensure that the driver swap can happen at a realistic pace where you're not actually jeopardizing the second driver's track position relative to the car behind. It's not driver swap, or look, pick them up and swap them over. You've got to do it at the right place. You've got the timing matters. And I'm sorry, but Daniel Ricciardo was on fresher, soft tires versus older, hard tires of Yuki Tsunoda and Kevin Magnussen, had DRS and didn't get the move done. I'm sorry, but no, you shouldn't have made that driver swap unless you were absolutely certain you could do it. And when we were watching it, I said there was no way he was going to get it done. And I think it did.
No.
I think it said to Yuki Tsunoda, he's expendable.
Yeah.
That Danny Rick's their priority. And it wasn't for points. Let's be really clear.
No.
They did this without any chance of getting into the points.
There was no chance. There was absolutely no chance. There was not even a chance at Yuki. And Yuki might have, I'm not saying he would have, he might have been able to get a pass if he had been in that position. He might have. Maybe he wouldn't have. Daniel Ricciardo was within DRS for so long.
Fresher, faster tires. And if you can't get the move done on your teammate, equal machinery, on fresher, softer tires, you don't get to go on the radio complaining that you're faster. Prove it. Prove it.
No. Yeah.
Outbreak him, get on the throttle earlier, and beat him.
Yeah. They should have swapped back. I get that there's a limited amount of race left. It doesn't always work. They should have swapped back. Yeah. I am also not excusing Yuki's almost crashing into him post-race. That's a different thing. That shouldn't have happened. That behavior's not great. But during this race, his frustration, completely valid. Completely valid. I would have been questioning it too. That was a very weird strategy from them.
Very. Who do we think had the best overtake?
I know who everyone thinks, commenting.
I
would disagree. I would fundamentally disagree for the reasons we have actually already discussed. I don't think you can give the best overtake to someone who's overtaking a car that can't brake. Was the move enjoyable to watch? Absolutely. Anytime someone outbreaks another person at turn one at Bahrain, it's great to see. But it's not difficult to outbreak when the person next to you can't brake.
I'm glad it was done safely.
Yes.
I'm not saying he didn't deserve P3, but Charles Leclerc, I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm not saying he did.
I just think
Charles Leclerc didn't have functioning
brakes.
Brakes necessarily. Yeah. And behind him as well was Russell, who also was having significant issues. And then behind that you had Norris, and there's two drivers with issues that are a buffer between Norris and Carlos at that point.
Not getting P3 would have been shocking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Given that the people behind you couldn't brake or cool their engine, or were stuck between people who couldn't cool their engine.
Couldn't brake. Yeah.
But I mean, Piastri's move on Alonso, I thought was a brilliant overtake.
Yes, absolutely.
Hamilton's overtake on Alonso was a really solid overtake. And I did think, oh, there's no way Alonso's going to let that stick. He's not letting that pass. But he did, which did make me question what was going on with the Aston Martin. And then I think I would give best overtake to Charles Leclerc on George Russell, just because both of those drivers having those issues and didn't crash, I feel just creates a different little subsection for best overtake, because
it is.
Yeah.
Yes, George locked up and went wide, not surprising given the issues he was having with his car. But those two racecraft being able to have the battle and not crash into each other or into a wall. You guys win best. Yeah, that's best overtake for me. No one
they do. They got it. They win it.
That was, I think, the one where I was most like on the edge of my chair. Unlike some races we had last year where it's like, is this going to stick? And that's what the anticipation was. Is it going to happen? Are they going to get close enough? I see the times. This was, is there going to be a horrible crash?
Yeah.
Because someone's going to pass on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Something's going to go wrong.
You're just hoping and praying that it's going to be a safe, just clean overtake.
Yep.
So like, I would have split driver of the day between Russell and Leclerc, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For just the struggle bus that they put up with.
Yes.
Yeah.
The and GPG drivers of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leclerc and Russell.
Leclerc and Russell. Yeah. That was him.
Because we can't give it to Adrian Newey, so.
No, technically not a driver. They probably just performance of the day. Adrian Newey.
Adrian Newey. Once again, as normal, Adrian Newey wins.
Yeah.
Takes the cake.
Yeah.
Yes. So, biggest letdown. I feel like we've kind of probably mentioned it a little bit already.
It's kind of a tie.
It's just so bad.
Alpine and RB both let, I think it was for different reasons, biggest letdown.
Yeah.
Alpine on performance, RB on team calls.
Yes.
I'm going to go for mine with Alpine, because that was like a bad call, but the car was functioning better at least. Like they had one fundamental aspect correct.
Yes.
Like the most basic part where you need the car that works, they had that correct.
Yes.
Alpine has not gotten that far yet, so they can't really even be having those issues yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Alpine.
Yeah. Emily?
It's like, it's definitely, I think I have to go with RB or B-carb, RB. That
whatever they're called,
AlphaTauri,
just purely based on the absolutely terrible team orders they decided to do.
And then what happened post race? It's a mess for them.
It's just a complete mess. Like,
I'm not surprised though. If you tell one driver that they're going to sacrifice you for a driver who isn't even going to get the move done, I'd be pissed too. I would be 100%. I don't agree with everything that gets said or some behaviors, but I think they made a very, very big mistake with the message they gave Yuki Tsunoda, who was their most consistent driver last season.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous to see how this plays out going forward. Oh, yeah. I know there are plenty of teams where the drivers get along really well. There's plenty of teams where the drivers don't get along so well, especially on track. I'm nervous about this pairing now and how they're going to work together.
I think Laura Mekies has quite a job to do in the debriefing, explaining to Yuki Tsunoda why it was necessary, because I don't understand why it was necessary. And
yeah,
I trust in the professionalism of the drivers going forward that it's going to be, you know, you're going to override it, you're going to move on, fresh race. But
we hope.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you'd have questions, I think, in your mind if you're Yuki Tsunoda. You've got questions about your position in the team when all you're hearing about is everyone wanting Daniel Ricciardo going back to Red Bull. And then that decision happens and you've put in a consistent performance the previous year and you've shown development the year before and you weren't having a bad race. You were in the DRS. You were having a consistent race and you're then told, yeah, we don't really care. We want to... Golden Boy over here is going to be given the place. And it's not for points and it's not for the championship. It's not for the benefit of the team. I think Laura Mekies has an interesting job ahead of him today, tomorrow, and all the way until, I would say, arguably free practice in Jeddah.
I'm glad it's not my job. Personally.
Yeah.
That's a level of confrontation I'm glad I don't have to deal with.
Same.
I'm going to side with Emily on biggest letdown because they did have the machine to do well and we were let down by team orders. So I'm going to switch my allegiance here.
I am fine with them P1 for biggest letdown, Alpine P2. But just
disaster.
If Alpine continues to be a disaster class all season... Yeah. Then at some point that is getting P1 of our biggest lift.
We will reevaluate week on week. So that was the race, I think.
Yeah. There's been another big topic this week.
So our next segment is going to be the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel like I need a deep breath for this one.
It's a difficult one, and I think we have tried to avoid making commentary before. I think we easily could have put out an episode when the rumor was first reported on. And I think we made a conscious decision not to, out of respect for the people involved and the reality of not knowing everything going on in the situation, which is perfectly reasonable. We have no right to know.
Yeah.
But obviously...
The content creators you follow.
Yeah. I think...
We don't... No more.
The Red Bull, Christian Horner, accusation of inappropriate behavior and investigation that followed has been in the headlines a lot, understandably, person in a position of power. I would say I think I'm not immensely comfortable commenting on the content of the leaks that have come out.
Yeah.
Because we don't know whether they're real. We don't know whether these have been... AI generated or created by someone who's incredibly good at what they do. And whether they're real or not, the people involved are real. And out of respect for them, I think I would only go so far as to say that people making commentary on it should remember that we don't know the exact phrasing of the allegation, and the barrister will have investigated based solely on the wording of the allegation. Not, did they have an affair? Was there a relationship? It's, we don't know specifically what the wording was. So before people start claiming conspiracy or anything, I think we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And
I get that obviously a lot of people feel very passionate about disliking Red Bull right now from a fan perspective. It's a dominant team, or they dislike Horner. And hey, there are reasons to criticize Horner for sure. All we know is that the investigation concluded he was cleared, and then this leak happened. We don't know more. We are not in a place to try and tell you information. If someone out there is, they are not in a place to. They've heard rumors. They've seen unverified news sources, because as we've seen in Formula One news, some of these news sources we have are just run by fans or people like that, that are grabbing at what they see and putting it out for headlines and clicks. And if that's how you want to grow your platform, you do you, but we don't know. And it's unfair of us to try and tell you, this is what's going on. He's guilty. He's innocent. We don't know. We only know what's told with us. And yeah, it, yeah. I just don't think leaking the contents of that is
information.
Yeah, it should stay confidential. It should have.
Yeah.
Especially for everyone involved, the potential victims. Yeah.
They certainly had the right to not have their name and photograph put out in public.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And all of the jokes celebrating that, oh, down to Christian Horner, Gunther Steiner's gonna come back. That is disgusting. I'm sorry, that is disgusting. The fact that you are celebrating, if that happens, if he would be fired, someone went through a potentially traumatizing situation.
Yeah.
Or just a very uncomfortable situation. That is what you are celebrating, and that is disgusting. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I have no issue with people making commentary is in reporting on what it is that we actually know. I think there is a fundamental difference between saying, hey, look, this is what the newspapers are reporting today. I think the comments people make on videos, on Instagram, on Twitter, X, whatever it's supposed to be called, being like, oh, I can't wait to see him fired. I really struggle with it.
Yeah.
Because there, it's just at the root of this, there is a victim. Whether it's because the situation and the rumors are true and they were subjected to something, or whether they're not true and someone's image is being tarnished. And then the family.
Yeah.
The children and the wife.
Yeah.
Who have done nothing to deserve people's jubilation over this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just disgusting seeing everything on TikTok and anything.
As Chessie has put it, I've stated, it's not like Alonzo and Taylor Swift.
No.
It's not even like the baby rumors. No. Like, this is not a situation to joke about. This is not a situation to be speculating, oh my God, maybe this. This is a situation where you sit back and you listen. And unless you are providing commentary on facts that you know for sure are facts, not because someone else with a large following said it, then we need to be quiet so that we're not adding to the confusion and to the just mess that has been created.
Yeah, or making it any more difficult or loud for the people involved who are just trying to function on day to day. But so yeah, that's our rumor mill. Hopefully next time it'll be a little bit lighter.
I'm give me the fun rumors, please.
Yes.
Alonzo, Taylor Swift, those are just be seen in public together and just rebirth those.
Just once.
Those rumors.
Like if Taylor comes to the paddock at one point, then we can discuss that. It's fun. It's important, I think, to discuss and bring up what we're trying to say, because I feel like it's not always being discussed in a great way, but I would enjoy some fun rumors for next time.
Yeah. I mean, we do have all of silly season to come, so.
Yeah.
That is true.
Be prepared.
Good stuff coming. Surprises, twists and turns, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there will be.
On to a lighter, more fun topic. All of us, myself, Sarah, Chessie, and our amazing social media president, Caitlin, have done F1 fantasy teams. And so here we're going to be doing a little check-in to see how, where we're sitting after that first, this first race.
Me. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to go to my teams. I'm trying to. Yeah.
I'm going to leave
the Okay, I'm going to my team.
Yeah. Oh.
Why did those go up?
Did anyone else see their point? Okay, so we've checked these points earlier, and these points now are very different.
Yeah, because it hadn't updated for the race. It was from qualifying.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh. Dang it. Yeah, okay, I want to just say one thing. Like, I have done a realistic team, a hopes and dreams team, and a chaos team. And the purpose of my chaos team is to score the least number of points possible. And for the love of everything in this world, my chaos team has scored more than my hopes and dreams.
Like, yeah.
Like, no. What?
I picked a team. This is our live reaction, which maybe that's a great way to do our F1 TV. For my chaotic team, I was struggling. I picked a color. I went with green.
You did your team based on a color.
I made it all, I'm for okay. proof for the video, I made it all green. Green for go. There we go. It doesn't look green in the video, but that's it's all green. It has Lance, Valtteri, Joe, Russell, and Hamilton. Tell me why that's higher than the ones that I would like to do well.
And yeah.
That's funny.
I can't even
by like 20 points.
My realistic team, actually, I moved up a few places.
I moved down. I realized I might need to redo some of this.
We might just have to put screenshots in of our teams instead of like...
I will be doing that. So. I'll run through... Do we want to run through what our teams are real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could actually see all do... our teams.
It's do you... If me. You go to the top and then you hit my team...
Yeah, it's not letting me see my teams. It's only letting me like...
It's not...
That's weird. Yeah. It's not actually... My app is just like, no, I don't want you to know what you chose. Oh, no. Okay. I'll go to the
screen. We'll run through mine for a moment. So I had one that I called, I hate naming them, so ignore these names. The one is called the Vroom Vroom Boys. And these are the drivers that I would really like to do well. This is like the hopes and dreams. So I had Lando Norris, Alex Albon, Oscar Piastri, Logan Sargeant, and then of course the rookie of the year, Fernando Alonso, because I had to put a fifth driver on and needed a budget, and I am at 0.2 million left, and I had McLaren and Williams, and that I had 60 points left after that, so not doing so hot. In second place, my green for go was, like I said, Stroll, Bottas, Joe, Russell, Hamilton, Sauber, and Mercedes is at 80. So that's interesting. And then I had Zoom, which had Charles Leclerc, Max Verstappen, Alex Albon, and then I was hitting cost cap a little bit. I had Yuki Tsunoda, Daniel Ricciardo, I have Ferrari in there, and I have Williams. I thought I put Red Bull in there, which is...
You would never have gotten Red Bull in there as well.
No, I would never would have. I had 1.3 million left on there. I'm kind of regretting this Yuki and Ricardo situation going on, but that is at 154 points, so that's how I'm doing. I'm not quite thrilled with this performance at the moment from myself.
Nope. Had to go onto the webpage.
Regretting
now,
these teams. Emily, what's your like
okay, to what's your team doing?
So, my hopes and dreams one, I'm going to try to keep it in the same order Sarah did. It's called Fuse Racing, which... If you play Apex, you'll get it. So on this team, I had Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, Alex Albon, Pierre Gasly, and Daniel Ricciardo. I'm questioning the Ricciardo bit now. Mm-hmm. And then my constructors were McLaren and Williams, and I had 73 points on that.
Nice.
Not
bad.
Low.
It's respectable.
Not terrible. So the complete chaos team, my burnout bandits, consists of Valtteri Bottas, George Russell, Sergio Perez, Logan Sargeant, and Yuki Tsunoda. constructors, I've got Williams and Red Bull. I had to have at least one, so I went with Red Bull. I'm happy I did. That secured most of the points for this. I had 130 points.
Nice.
In that one. And then the realistic, my maximum power racing. Wonder if you can guess who the first driver is.
Charlotte.
Max Verstappen. It was close. This one, I pretty much added Max and Red Bull in. And then I just autofilled the other ones, which it surprisingly worked out well. I have Fernando, Alonso, Nico Hülkenberg, Valtteri, Bottas, and then Zhou Guanyu. And then Williams is my other constructor, and I have 171 points.
Nice.
So that one's going strong.
Okay. So, starting with my hopes and dreams, which is my lowest scoring team, which just really fits with my hopes and dreams in general. I had Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Alex Albon, Lewis Hamilton, and Esteban Ocon, and the constructors were Ferrari and Williams, and I got a total of 104 points. Then for my chaos, which is called Chessie's Chaos, very originally named, thank you, I had Lance Stroll, Carlos Sainz, really screwed me on that one, George Russell, Pierre Gasly, and Sergio Perez, seriously screwed me, Haas and Aston Martin, and that has 113 points. And the goal of that one is to score the least number of points. So I've done spectacularly well there. And then my realistic team is called Unverstoppable One. And it's Valtteri Bottas, Max Verstappen, Alex Albon, Logan Sargeant, Fernando Alonso, Red Bull Racing, and Haas. And I got 172 points. So not doing too badly, but I need to really rethink my chaos game.
I need to reevaluate the decisions I made very late at night. Because I'm realizing that my least performing team is the one I registered for my local F1 league.
Ooh.
That I paid money to enter.
Oh no, that's never good. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe we're going to switch around that, put the more realistic ones in that one. So the names of mine might change.
Okay.
Who's associated with which.
And then we've got Caitlin, our lovely social media gal. I'll go through her hopes and dreams one.
Yes.
So I think she has probably some of the best names.
Yeah.
For her teams. So this one is For the Love of Fred. She has got Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Alex Albon, Lewis Hamilton, Logan Sargeant, and then her constructors are Ferrari and RB. And she has 104 points on that one. That did really good.
So she did Carlos Sainz, Lance Stroll, Yuki Tsunoda, Sergio Perez, George Russell, and then her constructors were Haas and Williams, and she scored 93 points. Yeah, so it's called Oh No, Not a Gas Leak. Yeah, she was doing a play on words because the point is chaos, right? Do you want to do the realistic?
And then No Incidents Here is her realistic. Yep. That was a bit of an incident. I'll hope I can piece together explaining that name. No Incidents Here is her realistic team, and it has scored quite a nice amount of points. She has Max Verstappen, Alex Albon, Logan Sargeant, Valtteri Bottas, Fernando Alonso, and the killer in there is she has Red Bull Racing, and then she also has Kicksapper.
Yep.
Stake F1.
So on our own league, how are we doing? What position are you in our own league?
I'm pretty
Caitlin
poor.
And I tied on our realistic one. So I think we're tied for fourth.
Yeah, Maximum Power Racing and No Incidents Here tied for fourth. And so
yeah, we're tied
for fourth. Is P7.
Yeah.
Okay, so if this were a race, we'd all be in the points. It's fine.
Yeah.
We did very good.
Yeah. I'm disappointed in Vroom Vroom Boys and shocked with Green for Go.
I'm disappointed in my chaos. So, like, my hopes and dreams is P20 and my chaos is P17. I have gotten this horrifically wrong.
Yeah.
My chaos is 11.
You've done worse than me in your chaos then. I take it back. I've not done horrifically badly in my chaos.
I didn't know we were going for lowest points, honestly.
Oh, man.
I got some revision to do.
That's our F1 fantasy check-in.
Yeah. We will update next week for sure.
Tune in next week.
It might get better.
Well, we'll see.
Might get worse. We'll see.
Yep. Yeah.
There'll be ups and downs.
Let's hope we do like a McLaren 2023 improvement and not an Alpine trajectory of 2024 in how we do this.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's hope.
Wow.
Bring us home, Emily.
I am home, though. So that is our little race recap. We covered some rumors. We did our F1 fantasy team. Hope you guys enjoyed. If you guys have an F1 fantasy team of your own and you need a league to join, check out our socials. We've got a nice code there. You can join the Grand Prix Girls League. See if you can beat us. It's going to be hard.
Can.
I think we had very different approaches. Like, yes, no, going to be difficult. We apparently have work to do.
Yeah, I need to go to the books after this to figure that one out. Yep. That was the episode. Hope you enjoyed. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, follow us on socials at F1 Grand Prix Girls.
True. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.